Seated on the throne, come let us adore him. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Father, we adore you. Come let us adore you. Come let us stand before your throne and exalt that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Thank you, O Father, for an opportunity to worship with like-minded brothers and sisters. Or for people who are coming before you and wanting to exalt your name and wanting to give you honor and glory and praise. Thank you, Lord. Open our eyes to see your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yesterday morning, my son Eli was cutting the back grass. And I thought back many years, or I had recently seen a picture of myself cutting the back grass, and this was probably about 10 years ago. And I was pushing the lawnmower, and Allison had come out and taken a picture of me mowing the grass. You know, because everybody wants a picture of somebody mowing the grass, right? But it wasn't me that was the focal point of this picture. Behind me was really the true joy of the picture, and it was Eli with his bubble-making lawnmower mowing the grass behind me. He thought he was doing a great job, by the way, because he was just doing what his father was doing. He was emulating and imitating his father, and it gave him joy to do that. My question for you this morning as we walk through our scripture is, do we as Christians, do we see ourselves as ones who would emulate our Father in heaven? And if you have your Bible this morning, I want to invite you to open up to 1 John chapter 2 and keep that image in your mind of a son emulating his father in the work. And while there may not be great power, there may not be a great effect in the son doing his work with his bubble lawnmower, nonetheless, the Spirit is there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. We're going to read this together. I'm asking if you'll read it with me out loud, if you're able. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Amen. This year we seek to ground ourselves in the truth. And as the country and the world seem to be changing so rapidly around us, we as Christians ought to be able to look around and go, but I'm rooted in the truth. I'm rooted in what the Word of God has taught for thousands of years. And I don't have to follow every whim. And I don't have to follow everything that might be happening around me. But I say these are principles that we stand on. And these are principles that we might need to correct. And these are things that we may need to emphasize. But they're all found biblically in the Word of God. And as there are many mistruths happening around us, we root ourselves in the truth of God's Word. We do not seek what is the most popular opinion. We do not seek to find reason to prove any preconceived ideas we have. We don't seek to do what feels right, but what we do is seek to promote Jesus Christ and all that He is in our daily walk and the way that we live and accomplish our lives. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says this, and think of the image that I gave you in the beginning of a son emulating his father. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Do you see it? Whoever says he abides in the Lord ought to walk or live or do things in the same way in which the Lord Jesus walked. So what we see Jesus having done, what we have seen Jesus do, is what then we do. And that is how we model our lives. As citizens, as brothers and sisters, as mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, what do we do as Jesus did? Verse 7, "Behold, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning." And what is that commandment? The commandment is to love. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. And we looked at this for the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we looked at that Jesus' love is truthful. It's rooted in the truth. And we looked at John chapter 4, 5, and 6 and how the interaction Jesus had always led back to the truth of spiritual life within the person that Jesus was ministering to. He helped them physically. He certainly did things that were meaningful to them, but he used them to point them to spiritual truth. Jesus' love was rooted in the truth. Jesus' love, last week we looked at, is sacrificial. That Jesus gave of himself, that he surrendered of himself, and that's the kind of love that God is calling us to do, and that is to give up our comforts, to give up maybe some of our privileges, and to use those in order to benefit the kingdom of God. I reminded you that John even later says 1 John 3:16. Most of y'all know John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 says this: "By this we know love, that he did what?" Can y'all help me out? That he did what? That he laid down his life for us, and then the application for us, what? We ought to also lay down our lives for the brothers, for the kingdom of God. Do you see it there? So the application last week I gave to you was, what was this motivation? Why should we lay down our lives for our brothers? And many of you are in service industries. I see Garrett back there. He's giving his life and his livelihood to help those around him by serving in a way to protect people. We give ourselves to sacrificially serve. Why would we do that? And I gave you, or I asked you to look at the next verse. Why would we live sacrificially? 1 John 2:8. "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you." So this new commandment's true in Jesus, and it's true in you because. Now, when you read the Bible, please pay attention to the words of the Bible, because the words mean something. The commandment that God has given us, and the commandment is what? It's love. And help me define love again. Love is wanting the best for someone and doing something about it. So if we're to love, and the commandment, that commandment's true in Jesus, which he loved us, and then he did something about it by dying for us and blessing us and giving us the kingdom, then how is this love commandment true in us? And look what it says. Because, he gives us the reason. There's a word. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So the commandment is true in us. Do you see it? Love is supposed to be in us and truly in us because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Sometimes you can breeze through a verse and say, well, that doesn't really make sense to me normally. But when you start to dig in, you see, oh, this really has power in it. This is really helpful for us to understand the because. So let's dig in a little bit. Because I'm not sure that at first glance or second glance or third glance that you can really comprehend what's going on. It took me several days trying to figure out what is this, what's going on here, thinking about it. His love's true in us because the darkness is passing away? What does that mean? The darkness is passing away so his love can be true in me. So it's because it's telling us why. It's the reason why. And if you've been around any children in your life, you know that they ask a question, why? I think Ash has asked me why more than any child I've ever seen. He's so inquisitive. He wants to know why. Well, here you go, Ash. Why are you loving? Because the darkness is passing away. That's why. That make sense to you? Let's work it out a little bit. Now, so here's what's going on. Love is true in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light has come. What's John talking about here? And what he's saying here is this. The kingdom of darkness has passed away now. And in a Christian's life, he is no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is this, is that you are self-centered and everything that you do is rooted around and is centered around pleasing your flesh. You understand that before you become a Christian, your life revolves around what's going to make me happy. I'm going to find the job that'll make me happy. I'm going to find a spouse that'll make me happy. I'm going to have the number of kids that'll make me happy. I'm going to have the boat that'll make me happy and the dog that'll make me happy, or not have the dog that won't make me happy. It's all rooted around what's going to make me happy. But when the kingdom of light comes upon you, when you surrender yourself to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and say, Jesus, I know that you died on the cross, that you have saved me from my sin, and that is a reflection of who you are as the Lord. When that happens, you begin to see things differently, and the kingdom of light illuminates your mind and say, oh, wait, the universe doesn't revolve around me. And so you begin to re-examine those things of, okay, what kind of job then can make Jesus happy? And what kind of spouse then can make Jesus happy? And what kind of dog or lack thereof can make Jesus happy? And when you're in the kingdom of light, things transform. And you begin to be motivated then out of love rather than out of selfishness. Much of what we see when you look around today in our culture and in any day and age is a people who love to please themselves, and a barrage of noise around you that says, please yourself, my stuff can please you, buy my stuff. And this is where advertising comes in and says, look, I've got the secret that's going to make you happy. And then the kingdom of light comes upon a person and he's overwhelmed and understands, wait a second. It's about Jesus now. And his love transforms you to where your desire now is to demonstrate that you love God above all things. And that you love your neighbor as yourself. And the love that you had for yourself begins to diminish. In the sense that your love for God is growing. Your love for your neighbor is growing. I've heard it said like this, JOY. Y'all heard that? It's an acronym, J-O-Y. Y'all probably heard this before. Jesus first. Others next, yourself last. That's where our priorities ought to be. I've heard that, and I like that. And I think it's in a lot of ways, the fulfilling of the great commandment. Jesus first, love God. First commandment, greatest commandment is this. Love your neighbors, yourself, others. We don't normally have a problem loving ourselves, do we? When Hannah was growing up, one of the passages of scripture, when you were young, Hannah, we used to read Psalm 1 together. And you memorized Psalm 1. And I learned to memorize it working and spending time with you. And I'm going to read the first three verses. This is what I'm thinking. When John says that the commandment in us is true, the commandment of love in us is true because there's a kingdom shift from darkness to light that allows us to be a different person. And the love for God and the love for others is now true because we're in a new kingdom, because we're in a new way of life, because we are now a believer who's born again. Remember that in light of Psalm 1. And let me read to you the first few verses. Many of y'all can quote this, I know. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is a man or a woman seeking after the kingdom of God. One who is pursuing his God, who delights in the law of God, because he is a one who delights in God himself. You don't delight in the law of God if you don't delight in God himself. And listen to verse 3. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Hear verse 3. This is powerful. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. So what does the tree do? It yields fruit. In other words, the commandment is made true. It is proving itself to be true because it's by streams of water. He is soaking up the Spirit of God. He's soaking up the nutrition, the nutrients, the life from the stream of life, the river of life, Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's bearing fruit. And its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Doesn't it remind you of Jesus saying he's going to give living waters? And those living waters are going to spring up from within him. And the Spirit of God is going to bear fruit. And Jesus saying, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. All of these things tying together because the darkness is passing away and the true light has come. So do you see, Christian, you are bearing the fruit of love. That is the Spirit bearing fruit in you. Your role in the kingdom, bear much fruit. So John is telling us, the kingdom of God bears the fruit of love. So let me stop for a moment and ask you, are you bearing the fruit of love? Is the kingdom of God being made known in you? Is the true commandment being made evident by the way that you treat your brothers and sisters, your family and your friends, your co-workers? Young people, I want to encourage you who live with brothers and sisters and siblings. Are you bearing fruit to your brothers and sisters? Do you show respect and honor? Do you offer help to the people you live with? Husbands and wives, are you doing the same for each other? Are you exalting each other, helping each other, building each other up? Are you bearing that fruit? Church member, are you sacrificing and helping and seeking to build up your brother and sister in Christ? Are we living out, is the commandment being made true in you? Because we know it's been made true in Jesus. He's proven it. Is it being made true in you? Are you grabbing your bubble mower and pushing it through the grass? Are you following Jesus in his example of loving in the truth and loving in sacrificial love? That's a good test for us. Think about that. Now we transition. Verse 9. Now here's another test, if you will. John has been giving us test after test. And really, you read 1 John and you kind of find out there, am I living the way I ought to be? Am I a believer or not? And hear the words here. Whoever says he is in the light, and I'll give some an idea there of what he's meaning, the kingdom of light. Whoever says he's in the light, are you in the kingdom of God? Are you following Jesus? Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is what? Still in darkness. Is he in the kingdom of light? John makes it very clear. You cannot hate your brother and still be in the kingdom of light. You may have ill feelings. You may not like what somebody does or says. But if you have hatred for your brother, John says there's no part of that in the kingdom of God. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is where we as Christians can step back and go, it's not very hard to understand what John is saying. And I can tell you that John is echoing the words of our Lord Jesus. And if you have hatred for your brother because of something about him, whether it's a difference in ethnicity, whether it's a difference in ideology, political views, theological views, parenting views, eschatological views, end times views, if you have these feelings, then what John's telling us, you're walking in darkness. And at every other test, what John means is you're not a believer. That's what every other test says. So what John is getting at in us is, hey, Christian, love, that is the fruit of the kingdom. And emulate the Lord Jesus Christ in that he loved. And he taught us to, above all, love God. To love our neighbor as ourselves. So if there be any hatred in our hearts, we need to examine ourselves and find out, are we in the kingdom of God? There's nuance in some ways to our feelings. So let's talk through that if we can just for a moment. There are certain times that we feel underneath us bad feelings towards people. You ever felt that? You ever felt that toward me? Or toward that person sitting next to you? And sometimes we don't like what somebody does. And we get angry and we do things that we ought not to do. But Christian, this is where Christians step back and look, Christians do bad things. I'm a Christian, I do some bad things. I do things that wouldn't make y'all proud. They don't make me proud. And if I had to guess, I'd say each of you out there are in the same boat. So what do we do when we have feelings in us that are inappropriate feelings? We've got to step back and say, this is not of Christ. There's a song Miss Linnell taught for many years to the kids. And it's Ephesians 4:32. And she could probably come up here and sing it for everybody, right? Be kind. I know that a lot of our youth can because they were through her Awana ministry. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. That's all you got to do. Ephesians 4:32. That's the song. The commandment of the God has called us to be kind, to forgive as Christ forgave us. So if you're dealing with feelings, inappropriate feelings of anger, borderlining on hatred towards a brother, don't let your flesh win. Emulate Christ. Follow Christ's example of forgiving. As we have recorded in his words, Father, forgive them. And we looked at the late in our ladies group, Stephen, the apostle, said the same thing as he's being stoned. Father, forgive them. The heart of a Christian is to forgive. And I'm not saying to forget, but to forgive. Because as a Christian, oftentimes we have to learn when we get burned by somebody that we remember that. But we can forgive them and not hold it against them. But that doesn't mean they have our trust. But we can forgive them. Let's look how Jesus said it, if you will. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this. You have heard that it was said. Now, this was the common teaching in Jesus' day. You've heard that it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So the Jewish culture, look, it was taught by rabbis. Love your enemy. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what's the teaching of the day. That's why they called people dogs and treated the people like you see, Samaritans, and others in such a foul way. Jesus comes and he raises the bar and he transforms it and reveals to them the true teaching of God. But this I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then the reason. So y'all jump back on. I gave you in earlier that John says that the light is, or the new commandment was being made evident because the kingdom of darkness was passing away, the kingdom of light's here. Here's Jesus and his because, or so that, rather. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you might be sons of your Father in heaven. Here's the why. So this can mean, really, one of two things, and maybe something else, but two primary things I can see this means. This means that if you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, if you do that, then you will be sons of God. So it's a way of earning sonship into the kingdom of God. Or it can mean that if you are a son of God, then you will reveal yourself by loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you. I believe the latter makes more sense in light of all of Scripture. You are proving yourself to be a son when you emulate your father. Like, it wasn't the neighbor's kids in my backyard pushing that bubble mower. But Jesus said, as we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, we will be revealing that we are sons of our Father in heaven. And then he gives this this example. And you've heard the verse a lot of times that he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. You've probably heard that quoted. But did you know the context of it is that that's Jesus' argument that God is kind to all people. And you know, growing up, when I heard that, he sends the rain, and everybody always talked about the rain being a bad thing. Oh, it's a rainy day. Oh, it's raining. We can't go play. And so I thought when people were quoting, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust, I thought that meant he sent bad things to happen on everybody. But the context here is not that. The context here is that he's sending his blessing, that he's even blessing his enemies. God's enemies, he's sending them rain for their crops and for their food, for them to drink. God is a kind and gracious God, even to those who are his enemies. And Jesus' word to us is, be like your Father. Be like your Father who's sending good things upon people who are his enemies. God knew exactly who would crush his son, who would send his son to be scourged and beaten. God knew exactly who would nail the nails into his son's hands and his feet. God knew exactly who would thrust the spear into Jesus' side. And God gave Pilate an exalted position of comfort. And God gave those soldiers a job that they could provide and eat healthy meals every day. That is what a good father does. That is what a good son does. So Christian, this is the words of our Lord Jesus. There will be people you will interact with that will treat you harshly. They might criticize you behind your back or even to your face. They might make business moves that put you back. They might criticize your mama or your wife or your daddy. They might criticize your Lord. They might create laws that prohibit you from worshiping. They might kill someone you love. They may even seek to kill you. But the words of our Lord Jesus ring out like a siren. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So church, if we can cling to these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we can cling to the principle that John has given us, that true love is made known in us, we can be a voice, a steady voice in our culture that says, God is love. And I'm going to place my love upon you, and I'm going to love you. And no matter what you do to me, I'm going to pray for you. If you persecute me, I'm going to pray for you. So Christian, prepare yourself for this coming week. Prepare yourself for this coming year. Prepare yourself to be one who sings the song that Jesus saves, that God is love, and that he is a God of loving and truth, and a God who is loving and sacrifice. Sing the song for the world to see, so that you might be sons of your Father, so that you might proclaim that you are children of God. Let me read two more passages of scripture for you. God's word's so good. In this same idea, listen to what John says later. He says this in 1 John chapter 4. We love because he first loved us. Do you see it? Oh. You were an enemy of God. The Bible's very clear about that. You were an enemy of God. But he made you alive in Christ, and he placed his love upon you. We love because he first loved us. Can you place your love upon someone who doesn't love you, who's your enemy? That's the call of the scripture in our lives. Can you do that? I'll tell you how you do that. And it's Romans 8:14. And Hilton, I'm sure you're watching this morning. Talk about Hilton a whole lot. He's a mentor in my life and many things. And our men's Bible study group that Jimmy leads on Wednesday nights, Hilton is always speaking of, what is it, Jimmy? The Spirit of God in us. It's the Spirit of God in us. We've got to humble ourselves before the Spirit. We've got to let the Spirit move in us. Don't miss what the Spirit's doing. Ever reminding us is the Spirit of God. So I'm up here preaching to y'all. Love. Y'all go love people. Go love. Sing the song of love. How do you do it? How do you do it? How do you love? How do you sing that song? Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Prepare for this week. Prepare for this year. Prepare for a lifetime. Get on your knees, Christian. The old tried and true principles of Christianity. Pray and read the Bible. If you ever get confused, pray and read the Bible. And you pray and you say, oh, Spirit of God, transform me to be a lover of people who are my enemies. And the Word of God transforms us and teaches us the truth. Oh God, help me put into place what the Word of God is teaching. Transform me, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So go be led of the Spirit of God to love people and to prove that the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of light is in you and it is shining forth into the world of darkness. And there are those who are blind out there who cannot see. And you bring the light of Jesus Christ to say, God is love. God can transform you. He can save you from your sin. He can redeem you in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He can make us a light walker. One who's walking now in the light. And the darkness does not overcome us. The darkness has not overpowered us because we have the light of life in us. Church, let's go be light walkers together in the kingdom of light. Let's pray together. Father, you have changed us. And you brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Lord, we ask, make us light walkers by your Spirit. Help us, transform us, show us Jesus, and help us to show others Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Lord, precious name of Jesus. Amen.